All right, everybody, this is the Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere podcast. I'm your host, Joel F. Gardner. I'm also joined every week by my good buddy, stand-up comedian Derek Sweet. You can find all our episodes at stuckinthemiddleofsomewhere.com or sitmos.net. That's sitmos.net. You can also follow us on Twitter at sitmos or like us on Facebook. We also want to thank everybody for the donations that have been coming in lately. It's because of you that our podcast studio has been getting more pimp every week. We just want to say we love you all. You can find that donation button at on the main page over at stuckinthemiddleofsomewhere.com. For now, let's get this thing going. Here's Death from Above, 1979's Romantic Rites. Alright, welcome everybody to the podcast. This is Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere.
Bass.
It's bass, dude.
Bass.
I'm Joel F. Gardner, and this is my buddy Derek Sweet.
Derek Sweet.
Here as always. Before we get into some new games that were released this week, NHL 12, which I know you picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And we also want to talk a little bit about an Xbox Live Arcade title of Crimson Alliance.
Yeah.
But before we get in that, I kind of want to go back and touch on Dead Island a little more.
Okay.
Now that we've both had the chance, I don't know if you've done it yet, but...
No, I'm 70%.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, 17, 18 hours into the game.
I'm getting a lot more into it, dude. At first, I was kind of annoyed by a lot of aspects of the game, especially the looting mechanism. I'm kind of used to that now. I don't actually mind looting. I absolutely love the atmosphere in this fucking game, man.
Yeah, no, it's
perfect. I finally got to the city, and oh my God, is it creepy.
Yeah.
Like, when you're walking around that city, and you hear zombies roaring in the background, and you can kind of... I'm constantly looking behind me to see if there's a zombie running at me, because you're always just hearing noise coming from everywhere. Zombies breaking glass and shit like that, and you slowly look around the corner, peek around the corner. Okay, there's only one or two. Okay, I could take them out. Yeah. Shit, there's 10. Okay, not going that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think one of the huge misconceptions about this game is a lot of people are writing it off as a first person Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, which I don't get.
It's nothing like Left 4 Dead. Yeah. Left 4 Dead, you could come out, oh, zombies everywhere, oh, pop, 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 I'm shooting them off, I'm killing zombies, I'm killing five at a time, no problem.
Yeah.
This game, if there's five zombies, you run.
Yeah. Because
chances are you're going to die.
Yeah, no, it does not take long to get beat down, which is good. The death penalty isn't too bad. Yeah,
it's good the death penalty's not bad. All you do is lose a little bit of money.
Yeah, but sometimes a little bit of progress. Sometimes you spawn further ahead, closer to your goal than you were.
Yeah, it seems kind of weird, the spawn points, how they work. But I'm super glad the death penalty's not harsh, because as long as this game is, and as hard as this game is, it would be really annoying if...
You
lost a lot of progress every time you died.
For sure, because, you die all the time. You are going to get beat down by some fucking zombies in this game. It's going to happen.
Yeah,
I think they captured what they were trying, the atmosphere, like you said, of what they were trying to do perfectly. It exactly feels like I am on an island trying to get off a fucking island that's covered in zombies.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the game feels like.
Unfortunately for me, the game is almost too fun.
Yeah, you were saying that.
Like, the other night, I only had a little bit of time to game, and, I threw on some Black Ops, because I knew as soon as I threw in Dead Island, I'm stuck for a couple hours. Because I'm one of those guys, as soon as I get another quest, I have to go do that quest.
Yeah.
I cannot shut this game off until I clear an entire area, pretty much, you know, because, as soon as I return that quest and, oh, can you do one more thing for me? Oh, yeah, I was going to go do this in real life, but yeah, okay, this sounds a lot more fun.
Yeah.
I'll go do this instead.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's hard to put down. Although I have not had a problem picking up and playing one mission and putting it down.
Yeah,
I've done that a couple times.
Yeah, I can't do it for some reason. I don't know what it is. It's too enticing for me to just keep on playing.
But yeah, it's in contender for my favorite game in 2011. I think just because it's so unique, not because it's got better graphics, but when you play as many games as we do, you just want something new. That's really, you want something that's not like what you've played before. I'm so tired of picking up a new FPS or a new third-person shooter or something, and there's nothing new about it, which is why, you know, I'll stick, like, L.A. Noire, not my favorite game, but man, was it different. I'd never played a game like it.
Yeah,
so
true.
It was worth playing for that reason. And
yeah, exactly. And but, this game's the same way, and I think it's...
and it's fun.
Because it's zombies, though, I think that's where it's losing a lot of the audience, because everyone's just sick of the saturation of zombies.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it's kind of hurting a bit. The whole Left 4 Dead thing, how people are mistaking it for just like another Left 4 Dead, except first person. And I've had some other buddies that are like, oh, I've played Fallout, I'm kind of done with Fallout. It's not like Fallout either.
No,
it's way more exciting, man.
The only game you can compare it to is Dead Rising. That's what it's closest to.
Yeah, probably.
With
the
crafting and the looting, and you know, you don't want it, your items degrade super quickly and stuff. Like,
it's just done a lot better, I find. Like, the one thing I always hated in Dead Rising was the whole timing issue and how you were timed on all, you only had a certain amount of time to get all your missions completed. I hated that aspect of Dead Rising, man. It didn't allow for any sort of exploration whatsoever.
Yeah,
because you know, you're so busy just running to there and back just to try and get your shit done.
Right. You know? But that was also unique at the time, too. But by the second one, it was annoying. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I loved it. My one complaint about the game was that when you sold items, it randomly selected another item in your inventory to focus on afterwards. So you'd constantly have to go, no, I wanted to sell three of those things afterwards. They finally fixed that in the patch that came out yesterday. So,
well, one thing I found myself doing, at least I did, I think, three times in a row last night, is when I go up to the guy that trade, it automatically defaults you to the buy menu.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I have it in my head that, oh, that's my stuff, because I see some of my items in the buy menu. So I'm like, yeah, sell. And I'm like, wow, he's going to give me $900 for this? Crazy.
And then I buy it,
and I'm like, oh, shit. And then I go to sell it, and it's like, I'll buy it back from you for $100.
I know. They burn you on the prices.
Not only is the guy an asshole for charging, period, but then he, like, dicks you on that.
Yeah.
trying to sell it back to him, man.
What a cocksucker that guy is.
So let's talk about NHL 12. Have you had a lot of time to play it at all?
No, because I've been playing Dead Island when I have time. I've played two matches online, both of them. Had an awesome time.
What's the improvements? What's the changes?
It was really hard to tell at first, to tell you the truth. It seemed the same, but it seemed like it was a little slower, which wasn't good, but it's kind of like more precise. The goalies make cooler saves. Like, the goalies look way cooler.
Like, I heard you can take out goalies now.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I haven't seen that.
Like, actually check the goaltender and shit like that.
Yeah, and you can smash glass, apparently, and stuff like that. But really, I just picked it up because I gotta have the latest hockey game at all times.
All-Stars are in it, I heard.
Yeah, there's something. There's something about Legends. Yeah, there's some Legends Be a Legend mode. I don't know anything about it yet, so I'm not ready to talk about NHL 12 too much yet.
I've never been one for sports games. I always kind of feel that sports games kind of segregate sort of some of the market, you know, like people that buy sports games, other than you seem to be the exception, but a lot of people that buy sports games tend to only buy sports games.
It's true.
Because they're into sports.
Yeah.
You know, whereas a gamer such as myself, I don't know, I kind of tend to shy away from those. I'd rather play sports in real life than on a video game.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's midnight and you can't go out and play around.
I guess so, but I don't know. For some reason, I haven't gotten serious about a sports game since mid-90s, I think.
Wow. Yeah, it is definitely true that I think the most people that buy the sports games are the people that just play sports games, for sure. But there's still, you know, I think every gamer's got a sports game. Not every, but a lot of gamers, I think, have a sports game in the pocket.
Have that one sports game that they like to pull out.
After they were just done on the game that they're playing, they're like, man, I want to play something else. Let's throw in some NHL, you know. I always pick up the hockey and the basketball.
It sounds great, and it sounds like something it would be incredible to do with your friends. Like if you formed a team and then mm-hmm. entered a season, you know, online and stuff like that, I think that'd be quite an experience, man. Mm-hmm. But the little limited amount of time we have and all our friends have in order to schedule that, it would be impossible for some people like us.
You pretty much have to be teenagers to pull that off.
Yeah, you seriously have to be. It seems that way.
Because teenagers have disposable time and income. That's what it comes down to. So,
but yeah.
The thing is that's really cool, though, is you can join online seasons by yourself, right? So
yeah,
you can be just you that. And play. That's really fun. I just like to play versus matches. I just throw it in and hook me up with a versus match, play one other guy. So, but I'm going to start experimenting more, but next podcast I'll be able to talk more about it.
Cool.
And talk about Crimson Alliance.
Yeah, you want to talk about Crimson Alliance?
Yeah. Kelsey and I have been playing Crimson Alliance. If you guys don't know what it is, it's this game that showed up on Xbox Live Arcade, and it was free. It says free. It's like download it for free, but it's like, oh, it's free for like, it's the free version is just like a trial, and then you have to buy an add-on to open the character. So it was it's a little bit of deceptive.
So you cannot. So I'm still kind of confused. You say it's like a trial, so they. You can only get to a certain point in the game because they obviously give you a character to use.
Yeah, you create your character and you can build that. You can play that character through the first level until you buy the content, and you can either buy one character for 800 or all three for 1200. So it's like way better deal to just buy all three. You know, it makes more sense to buy all three than it does to buy two.
But it doesn't stop there, does it?
No,
in terms of pay, right?
Well, no, and then you can buy gold in the game for $1. For $1, you can get 40,000 gold, which will seriously get you like all the best shit in the beginning.
That's kind of cool, man. I don't know. How do I feel about that?
Yeah,
I'm not sure how I feel. But I've always been kind of against the whole buying your shit, you know, mm-hmm. instead of putting in the time. But why am I against that? I don't know.
Well, it sucks in things like NHL where people can buy better teams.
It's worse when it's a competitive game.
When it's a competitive game, that's when it sucks. If it's single player, all the power to you if you feel like ruining your game. That's what I think it is. Honestly, if you're paying to make progress in a game, why don't you just...
Why play the game?
I don't. But some people just like to open up the best everything and be like uber powerful right off the start. You know, whatever. If that's what you want to do, it ruins the game to me. To me, a game is about a challenge. It's not just about going and messing shit up.
Yeah.
I like to challenge myself, which is why I love Dead Island, and I can see why Dead Island would turn a lot of people off because it's not just a let's go have fun experience. It's a serious survival challenge.
No, yeah, like I said, I think we touched a little bit on it the last podcast, and I do think that's why I didn't necessarily review it that favorably last time. You know, mm-hmm. I had a lot of problems with it, but now that I'm actually more into it, I'm really enjoying it.
I loved how you were arguing about the looting and looking down, and you were talking to us and you were saying like, man, if I was really fighting zombies, I wouldn't have to look down and pick up a machete. I'd just throw it up with my feet and grab it.
I'd just be running by, kicking it up with my feet.
Yeah.
Loading shotgun shells on that are placed strategically off my body.
I'd love to see that. What I think would actually happen is you'd kick the machete handle first into a zombie and then you'd have no machete.
I think a lot of people underestimate how well they would survive in a zombie apocalypse, man.
It sucks because I got to think about things like this. If there ever was, because I got Kelsey with me, and I just got to say, Kelsey is not exactly the most coordinated person. So
she would be down pretty quick.
I would have to make the decision: do I die with Kelsey or run away? I'm going to be forced to make that decision one day. Whether it's
would your instinct for survival be that strong that you would want to live in a world, a zombie apocalypse world? Like it's definitely glorified in the movies and it looks cool. Oh man, it'd be so awesome to live in a zombie filled world where it was like you and a band of people.
I don't think anybody says that when they watch zombie movies, Joel. I think it's just you.
Yeah,
it's just you.
That'd be so wicked.
But. I think most people are going, wow, that'd be terrible. And Joel's like, fuck, that looks awesome. I could just shoot people. Headshot.
I can't be the only one out there.
Yeah, I'm sure there's other psychopaths. Yeah. Anyways, so Crimson Alliance, it's kind of like this dumbed down Torchlight. It's Torchlight for girls. That's exactly what it
really?
Is. Which is why I'm playing it with my girlfriend. The cutscenes are the worst cutscenes ever. Like, they're badly...
Yeah, you showed me one. It was like horrible art. They couldn't even hire a good artist to draw the cutscenes.
It's like bad still art. with voiceovers. That's what the cutscenes are. So it's like a really low budget game. I think it's made by Microsoft.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Maybe not. I remember seeing it's either published or made, developed by Microsoft. I can't remember. But anyways, it's just a little game that we're playing together, and we're actually having a really good time with it because it's simple, because there's only three inventory slots. You've got armor, staff,
and she doesn't have to geek out too hard.
Right. You know, it's easy for her to get and pick up right away. She's like, oh, I got a new sword. And she understands right away with that what the stats are better because there's only four stats you can possibly be improving.
Yeah, yeah.
And only one of them is related to your character. The other three are all related to your power. So there's no strength. There's no dexterity. There's no defense. There are ratings. It's just X attack, Y attack, B attack, and your health, and those are the four stats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's like it's a very simple, dumbed down game, but we're having a really good time. We're like 75% done now. We'll be finished soon.
Sweet, sweet. That's cool, dude. What happened to Canada's Next Top Comic?
Oh yeah, thing?
Derek was entered in. You tell the story. Obviously, it's about you.
I was accepted to be in this in the runnings for this Canada's Next Top Comic contest that XM Radio is putting on, and I was under the impression when I applied, because you had to send in a bio and clips and work history and stuff, I thought they were selecting like the best of the best in each city, and I was really honored to have been selected at first. But I've since found out that there's going to be 20 people on the first opening round. Have you ever been? What's the most? I've asked you to come to a lot of shitty comedy shows. What's the most number of people you've seen on a show?
Maybe 10.
10. Exactly. 10 is the max any reasonable person would put on a show. 20 comedians?
Dude, that's going to be like 5 hours long almost. Well,
it's 5 minutes each. It'll be 2 hours of just
comedy.
Just the amateur comedians, and then you've got the MC and the headliner if there is one as well, right?
Oh, wow.
So I was going to subject my friends to that. I was going to ask my friends to come in so that they could cheer loud so that my recording would come out good and stuff. But seriously, what if I drew 20 in the spot? I can't even ask my friends to be that enthusiastic about me being on stage, you know? Never mind complete strangers. And then I find out they have the rights to that recording. They can air it if they want.
Really?
Yeah, they can air it anytime they want. I don't have the right to say, that was a bad recording because I was up 17th. Can you not air that, you know?
Yeah.
No, they're going to air it anyway. So I withdrew and I said, I'm really sorry, but I have to control the quality of the content that I put out there. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't just let bad recordings be out there and floating around. What if the wrong person is listening and that's the person that maybe could get me a really good gig or a really good opportunity, you know? He's like, oh, and I heard that guy in XM. Nobody was laughing, you know?
Yeah, you never know.
And then I'm driving, and then I was feeling a little bit bummed out about that. And then I'm driving home, and I come up on XM Radio on the channel that's putting on the contest. So I was like, it's like, I don't really know what I thought I was missing. Set. Yeah, it played a clip that I've sent them, and I was like, oh, nice. Like, what did I even want? I wasn't going to win the contest. I am no contest winner, and it's not because of lack of skill. It's because of the content I choose to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
And for that reason, I will never win a contest. I am not a mainstream comic, and I'm proud of that. And so I really just wanted the free exposure. And then I realized, what, I'm already on their radio station. What am I worried about?
What do you care?
And the bit that was, there was three bits on the radio station on the clip that I heard. I don't do any of those three bits anymore. So that's got to be some kind of milestone when you hear yourself on the radio doing material that you won't even do anymore because it's so old. You're like, fuck that.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
So that was cool. I was like, well, that's definitely some kind of milestone in my career to be like.
Well, that Louis C.K. video that you posted the other day when he was talking about when he was talking with George Carlin, and his philosophy on comedy, and was brilliant. I think, and I think that's the only way to progress as a comic.
Which, if for the people that never saw the clip, George Carlin basically was an advocate of throwing away your entire act every year and starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Louis C.K.
And that's what he does now,
Louis C.K. did the same hour for 15 years, he said. 15 years of doing the same hour material. And then he said, you throw that out, and then when you're done doing jokes about airplane food and dick jokes, then you have to start talking about yourself. Well, when you're done talking about yourself, then you have to start talking about your fears. Well, what about when you're done talking about your fears? Then you have to get into your deep beliefs and philosophical shit. And he said it basically throwing away your material forces you to talk about more personal topics, which will make you relate to an audience more than
way
bathroom,
better
than airplane food. Did I say airplane bathroom? I meant airplane food. Than airplane food or answering machine jokes will ever get you, right? But it hasn't.
And Louis C.K. is one of is probably, arguably, the most brilliant comic out there right now performing.
He is the best living comedian without question in my mind.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, and he's on tour again. He's in Toronto on October 15th, and if you live in Toronto and you don't go see that show, I will personally kick the shit out of you if I see you, because you need to see this man if you're in... I won't kick the shit out. Obviously, I don't want to hurt anybody. But
could you
I don't know anybody? If I could hurt anybody. Yeah.
Dude, have we talked about my phone bill on the podcast before? Because I have a feeling that we have for some reason.
I don't think so.
I've gotten overcharged by this stupid phone company.
Which company?
Bell. Bell Canada.
Bell.
3 months in a row now. I've had to call them every month because my phone bill is $300 plus.
What?
Yeah. All for text messaging.
Yeah.
So I phoned the company today and I explained the situation. I'm like, listen, there should be a whole sheet of notes there explaining what has happened in the past because I've had to go through this 2 months previous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, there's nothing really written here. I see that you had this plan where you had text messaging. I'm like, nope, stop there. I've always had unlimited text messaging. I don't use my phone as a phone. I only text message and use the data. So mm-hmm. there is absolutely no reason for me to not have unlimited text.
Yeah.
It's like, that's one thing I made sure of. So why you guys are charging me for text is beyond me.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back and look at your plan. I'm like, no, don't look at my fucking plan. I don't care what your plan says. I've always had unlimited texting. She's like, okay, yeah, I do see here that there's about $270 of overcharges on text messaging. I'm like, yes, please have those removed. Well, I cannot do that, sir. I'm like, what do you mean you can't do that? I do not have the authorization. I'm like, well, get somebody on the phone that does.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, I'll be right back.
She does have the authorization, by the way.
Of course she does, yeah. Dude. She comes back. No, yeah, I talked to my supervisor, and because of your previous phone plan, there's just nothing we can do. And I'm like, no, I'm not. You guys aren't charging me double my monthly phone bill for text messaging.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys think I'm stupid and I wouldn't want unlimited text messaging if I'm texting that much?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know? Nothing she can do. So I'd lose my mind and end up hanging up on her. Phone back. Get another person online. What is her response? Oh, of course. I'll take care of that right away. Here you go, sir. Yeah, there you go. 270 blah, blah, blah. Taken off. There you go. It's all fine.
Wow.
Why? Why? What is going on here? Like, no, what is happening at the phone companies that they're teaching one person, no, always say no, you can't do that. And another person's like, damn right. Here, I'll do it right now. No problem.
Man, I'm telling you, like, switch to Rogers. I never have an
issue. I've had the same problem with... Dude, I'm on my third phone company. This is it for me. Bell's like my last straw because I went to Rogers, I went to Telus, and now I'm on Bell.
Wow.
I have the worst luck with phone companies. I don't know what it is, but they all want to overcharge me. And I think it must be a policy for phone companies to overcharge and then just see who catches it.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah, well, I've definitely had it happen to me, and you just call, and you go, wait, what the hell's this? They're like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, and they just reverse
it. Really boggled my mind, though, how one person was able to do it, and the other person, who I spent longer on the phone with,
mm-hmm.
wasn't able to do it, you know? So it wasn't a matter of, oh, she just wanted to get me off the phone and didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
Was it a lack of training? Where's the breakdown here?
It's for sure that the first person didn't like you.
Yeah, maybe, but I didn't come off as confrontational until she told me she wasn't going to do it.
Yeah,
you know, weird. Like I'm always personable and friendly on the phone as much as possible because I know that's really the only way you're going to get anywhere.
Right, yeah.
And yeah, and it wasn't until she told me that there's nothing she's ever going to do, then that's when I lost my mind.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't get it at all. If anyone out there works for a phone company, please inform me as to what your policies are, because I'm just dumbfounded.
Let's talk about bra.
What, broth?
Yeah.
Like broth?
I have to tell you guys a story. We invited Joel over for dinner, and we were making vegetable soup. And this is funny because any of my friends listening to the podcast would be like, are you sure you're talking about Joel and not you? Because I used to have a problem eating my vegetables too. But then I lived with a vegetarian for 6 months. So I went full vegetarian for 6 months at one point in my life. And then now, and then I've, you know, since come to realize that fiber's good. Joel, on the other hand, not in the same school of thought thinking, because we invite him over, we make
vegetables. I like fiber, just in different form.
Fiber bars at 7-Eleven, I guess. That's where you get your fiber from. Those health bars. But anyways, we made vegetable soup, and I'm like, wow, Joel's loving his soup. Like, I look over and he's like drinking it. Like, I'm like, wow, he's finishing his whole bowl. He loves the soup that much. And then I look, and all that's left in the bowl is just all the vegetables. And Joel just drank. He's like, this broth is delicious. This, he comments, he's like, you so make good. Such good broth. It's like, dude,
you
just.
So are you telling me there's no nutritional value in that broth? Because I guarantee you there's some.
I don't know what nutritional value would be in broth, actually. I don't even know. I'm trying to think.
You can't tell me all the nutrients stay within the vegetables when you're cooking them in that water for that long.
Yeah, and I guess, like, you know, the nutrients you get out of the vegetables is part of the good, but the main good you're getting from vegetables is the bulky fiber
that cleans out your colon and stuff, yeah.
So, yeah, we're pretty sure Joel's going
to
have colon
cancer. I'm going to be like Brock Lesnar, man, and have to have like 12 inches of my colon cut out.
What? He had to have 12 inches
of his colon? Brock Lesnar is this UFC fighter, this huge Viking monster dude.
I know who he is, yeah.
And his whole diet was just meat. Meat, 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 meat. Wouldn't eat vegetables, wouldn't eat anything but meat. And he had this condition called diverticulitis, I think it was called.
Yeah.
And had to have 12 inches of his colon cut out.
Wow.
Like, unbelievable.
I don't even know if my colon's 12 inches long.
I don't even know if my colon is probably not 12 inches. He's like, you got a huge colon, man.
That's weird. You can do amazing things down there. I know a guy that's had his entire large intestine removed.
What?
Yeah, how messed up is that, eh?
How does that work?
They just had, he has major digestive issues still, right? He's got to seriously watch what he eats and stuff. He can't eat certain things, but they just attach the end of the small intestine to his colon, I guess.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Think some things would just pass right through him.
Yeah.
Oh, that must suck.
But anyways, back to your diet. Did we talk about the guy taking your cupcakes and all that?
No.
This guy at work takes Joel's two cupcakes. It's a completely other story, but as we're talking, it's related to this. He's like, yeah, man, that was my lunch. And I'm like, wait a sec. Two cupcakes was your lunch? That's what Joel brought for lunch.
It was part of my lunch.
Oh, really? I thought that was all. I thought that was your whole lunch. It was like, because that's how you phrased
it. What do you got for lunch today, Joel? Cupcakes.
That's what I thought. Because I
a whole you bunch
said,
of them.
You were said when you were complaining about the guy taking it, you're like, that was my lunch, is what she said.
Speaking of that guy, man, he's one of those guys that talks with you. As I'm speaking right now, he'll try to guess at what the next word is coming out of my mouth and say it with me.
Yeah.
And he does this nonstop.
Wow.
It is so annoying. And I've talked to him about it.
He sounds like the most annoying guy in the world.
He sounds crazy, man. And I think he is crazy. He's pretty crazy. He's pretty damn crazy.
This guy just keeps taking Joel's food.
Takes my food all the time. And he's constantly trying to, you know, hump me from behind. And
yeah, like, what's with that?
I don't know. And he's just such a perv. Like, he's one of those guys that when I told him that I am into film and I make film and I'm a filmmaker, he automatically goes to porn. Automatically, everything now with me is porn, porn, porn. And, oh, Joel, let's go set up a camera. There's a chick over there. We'll go to smack her ass. And, oh, let's go. Action. Joel's porn.
Because that's film to him.
Because that's film to him, apparently. Like, everything film has to do with porn in some way. So now I'm involved in porn.
He goes to see Lord of the Rings. He's like, when are these chicks going to take their clothes off? I don't understand what's going on here.
When's this
self
bitch gonna get naked?
Man, speaking of lack of awareness of film, like I said to a guy the other day, because I just got put back on an old account that I haven't been on in a while, and I said to him, I said, every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. I said that, and he goes, oh, what is it? That's George Costanza, right? And Seinfeld. And I'm like, no, it's Godfather, actually, which is what George Costanza was quoting.
Is that the only reference he's seen of that quote? Because that's been referenced in so many shows.
I know, right? I know.
He only attributes to Seinfeld.
I know, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, man, that's like quoted in way bigger things than Seinfeld. But oh well. I guess it is mostly community. I guess Seinfeld probably would be the most famous quote of that line outside of the original line.
Probably. I just can't think of any off the top of my head right now. But
I can't think of Simpsons having ever done it. It's, generally, you would only quote it as a comedic line, I think. So.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you're right. One thing I want to mention. I brought my daughter over to Derek's the other day, and I'm feeding her some ice cream. My daughter's 1 year old.
I'm not good with kids. Let's
and,
just say
this
that.
Is how this is Derek's. This is how Derek relates to kids. So my daughter, I'm sitting there feeding my daughter some ice cream. And Derek proceeds to ask her.
I think it was,
hey, baby, you fucking like that ice cream? It's pretty good shit, eh?
That's how I talk to children. I'm like,
that's a fairly old Derek just addresses everybody.
Hey, baby.
It doesn't matter. 80-year-old woman, fucking priest, 1-year-old baby.
It sucks because I've been going to a couple of football games lately, and there's kids sitting in front of me, and I'll just be like, fuck you. And Kelsey will be like, dude. Like, there's children right there. You're in the family section. You can't be standing up and screaming, fuck. And I'm like, oh, comedy just seriously. When you're in a comedy club, the language being thrown around is unbelievable, right? So by offstage and on, so it just becomes part of your lexicon. Like, you can't not swear all the time.
But then I started to think about it, dude. And I'm like, well, do I really want my daughter thinking that that's a bad word and giving these powers to mm-hmm. these words that we've talked about many times on the podcast, giving power yeah. to words and how it's just, I don't know, it just seems so stupid to me how much weight some words will hold.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I expose my child to, you know, that's just the way some people talk and it's how some people express things or put emphasis on certain things, maybe she won't. You know, because kids tend to do shit that they're not supposed to do.
Well, the one thing, yeah, that's true. The one thing you don't want is them to be in front of their grade 2 teacher and be like, hey, fuck you. Or,
true,
you
know, true. Like, yeah, I don't want my kid going around other kids and, you know, having you their parents them. Come to me saying, hey, what's with your kid's foul mouth? Like,
yeah, you teach them there's an appropriate time for that language, and it's when you're in a bar or a comedy club. Or in front of kids at a football game.
Or when you just want to know if that ice cream's fucking good.
Yeah, if you just want to know if that, yeah, seriously, I'm one to talk, eh? But no, it's it is interesting for sure about the power of words and how we care about profanity. It's crazy. It's just, I was going to say something more interesting than that, but I blanked.
All right. Well on that note.
No, we won't pressure ourselves. We'll cut it out and dub interesting material in later. Don't worry. That's such a Bill Hicks line.
Before we go, I just want to say one thing that I'm sure a lot of people out there are probably shocked we haven't even talked about or mentioned in any way whatsoever yet, is the new Counter-Strike that got announced quite a while ago, actually.
Yeah.
Counter-Strike, what is it called? Global...
I didn't even play the first Counter-Strike, so I don't even know.
Well, it's just so funny because it just the amount of people that have tweeted me about this Counter-Strike, it's just, I find kind of funny. Like, obviously, you know, when you see a character on screen, you attribute a lot of their personality on screen to what they might be like in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so funny how a lot of people, you know, the majority of people out there obviously know me as FPS Doug from Pure Ownage. So they just assume, okay, you know, Joel Garner's in the Counter-Strike. It's so funny because even Doug wasn't really into Counter-Strike. Like, the first game Doug talked about was Army Ops,
mm-hmm.
and then it was all pretty much COD from there.
Mm-hmm.
But just for those out there, it's awesome getting a new Counter-Strike. That's wicked. But the majority of you guys that listen to the podcast know that I'm not really a PC gamer anymore, so I'm not really stoked on Counter-Strike. It's wicked, it's cool, I might check it out, but unfortunately I can't afford to be a PC gamer, so it's just not something I'm super stoked on.
If I'm not mistaken, too, maybe I'm just exposing my ignorance here, but wasn't Team Fortress originally a mod for Counter-Strike and then Team Fortress 2? I always thought Team Fortress...
No. Yeah, no? Team Fortress.
Half-Life.
Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah, I remember that because I remember playing in Jeff Jansen's apartment, Half-Life, and he showed me Team Fortress for the first time.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, it was a mod for Half-Life. Okay.
All right. Well, that's it, man. Let's get out of here and wrap this up. This has been Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere. Joel Garner, you can follow me at Joel Garner on Twitter. And Derek Sweet, you can follow him at Sweet Comedian. And check out our website, stuckinthemiddleofsomewhere.com or sitmos.net, SITMOS.net. You can also follow us on Twitter at SITMOS.
Cool, and yeah, keep those donations coming too. We appreciate them very much.
We love you all, and we'll catch you next week.
Peace.